You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Vikings entertainment. We just want the Vikings to win a Super Bowl before we die.
I will ride with this group.
Seriously, man. Please.
And away we go.
Okay, I have a question for you guys, and I would love your full-on honesty. We've been doing a show together. Well, Judd, you and I have been doing daily shows together in one form or another for 10 years. Yeah. Over 10 years.
Yeah, it's been a long time.
Declan,
I was young when we started. So were you?
Yeah, we both had a little less salt in our beard and hair.
Got that right.
Back 10 years ago. Declan and I have been tight, working together for not quite that long, but off and on for a long time. So we all know each other really well. I read the YouTube comments after yesterday's Purple Daily, where we went through Dan Graziano's, eight different trade scenarios for the Vikings to move up. And we debated some things, and I was attempting to preach, hey, like, yeah, go get a quarterback. But if there's a way to get a quarterback and not trade a future first round pick, and hundreds of comments calling me a coward, calling me scared that, boy, he got what he wanted. Kirk Cousins is out of town, and now it's time for phase two, which is be bold and go get your quarterback of the future. And here's Mackie curled up in the fetal position. He's scared. He's getting cold feet now that it's time to actually make a move up the draft board. Am I scared? Do you guys feel like my commentary this week and late last week, as we talk about Vikings quarterback scenarios, is it coming from a cowardly place? Just be honest with me.
I feel like, and I said this last week, I feel that your presentation, like, if you were all in on those top four, but you're like, the price has to be a reasonable price. And we've talked about this. If it's not, do you potentially address defense at like 11 and then take another position at 23? And then your defense could be good. I think where you're losing the public here, I think where you're debating, where the debate is going not your way, I think it's when you start to talk about, but what if they like Penix? What if they like Bo Nix? And then I think that's where I think people do have the ponder thing of, oh my God, they're just going to take a quarterback to take a quarterback. So I think the four clear cut guys are what people are focused on. And in presenting your argument, I think people are like, but Phil, you wanted to take a top quarterback, and now what if they don't? So I understand the public perception here. But I don't think your point, I don't think they are fully understanding what your true point is, which is trying to play the role of, hey, what if they could do this? or
well, it's like what if Kevin O'Connell loves Bo Nix?
Well, then I think
people would... ready for that conversation?
No, because I think then they call for O'Connell.
That's my point.
To be honest with you, I think they call for his head. Dex, what do you
they
think?
Would. They would boo at the draft party.
They
would.
Where I side with you is number one, the draft is random. It's bleeping random. So when everyone just saying, gotta go up number four, gotta go up to 1, 2, 3, or 4, 5, you gotta go up there because those are the four guys are. Those are their best chance of the four guys. No,
go get
not.
Your Sam Darnold, your Josh Rosen.
Yeah. No, it's not. No, it's not. There's a good chance that at least one of Bo Nix, Michael Penix, I'll even throw in Spencer Rattler. There's a good chance one of those guys outside the top four is a viable, decent starting quarterback. And just because he goes 23 or 48 or 108, it doesn't matter really, because one of those guys is also going to pan out. So just because some of the best quarterbacks are 1, 2, 3, 4, in fact, I could probably make a good case that all four of those quarterbacks, really only one or two of them, is going to be a viable starting quarterback. So the options are everywhere. It's not just 1, 2, 3, or 4.
But your job, if you're O'Connell, you were hired to try to remove as much of that randomness as possible.
Bingo.
Spielman got fired because he probably said, but Ziggy, it's all random.
This is where, okay, I'm going to reflect here, and I'm going to look in the mirror. This will be a self-evaluation here.
Self-critique, I like this, yeah.
I have been, over the last week, because we're laying out scenarios, we're going
through... I've been so scared.
I have been speaking through a fear-based prism more than I should be. And I just did it there a minute ago. I said, well, what if you trade up and it's a Sam Darnold? What if you trade up and it's a Josh Rosen, despite the fact that I have spent the last 2 or 3 years telling all the Ponder PTSDers out there, hey, you keep talking about Ponder and T-Jack, and you keep talking about these busts, right? I want to talk about Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes and Lamar Jackson. And I think Justin Herbert is a hit, and now he's going to have a great head coach in Jim Harbaugh, right? So it is a little hypocritical of me to then kind of the last couple days be like, well, and Judd nailed it. Kevin O'Connell is the X factor here. He is the quarterback whisperer here. That is his role in this equation. In fact, a story came out yesterday. So the Vikings announced their entire assistant coaching staff, like 27 coaches for the 2000. Can you imagine being in that room? Forget about like the 53 players. You literally need like an auditorium for your coaching staff now in the NFL.
They've got room now, man. TCO, they got plenty of room.
So it's kind of funny. But he is now delegating a lot of his head coaching duties that he was responsible for the last couple of years, delegating more to Wes Phillips, delegating more over here to, pass game coordinator guy, right?
Correct.
So that he and Josh McCown can spend more time hands-on with Sam Darnold and quarterback X that they haven't drafted yet.
Yes.
And so what I've been getting at is, listen, if they let's say the Vikings have Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels levels above everyone else on their board, and the Bears and the Commanders are saying, sorry, league, we're drafting those two players. And then the Vikings have, let's say, we don't know what their board looks like. Drake May, J.J. McCarthy, earmuffs, folks, Bo Nix, and Michael Penix, all kind of on a similar tier. What I'm saying is, why would you trade a future first-round pick to move up for someone that's on the same level of your whiteboard as another guy? And we don't know what that whiteboard looks like. But what's going to happen is if they do trade up, it'll be because Kevin O'Connell loves whoever they're trading up for. And I believe that he eliminates a huge percentage of the bust factor of any of these quarterbacks. You know, like if you land a Christian Ponder, I don't think any team was going to make him into a superstar. Yeah. But I don't think Kevin O'Connell gets in a room with Christian Ponder and gets fooled into saying, yep, correct, that's our franchise quarterback for 10 years.
Amen. Cause he's good on the board. Like this is, and the thing too is, I mean, Declan's not wrong. The draft has plenty of randomness and that's been talked about for a long time. I'm not trying to completely dismiss that, but what I will say is let's look at the busts, like the first round, especially the high first round QB busts. Okay. Are you telling me that Zach Wilson, if he was taken by a competent team, is still the guy that's struggling now. He was taken by the Jets, who are a dumpster fire. I'll go back to the first incarnation of a guy like Tim Couch. How much was a guy like Tim Couch?
David Carr.
Yeah, but that's my point is I feel like we put it all on the quarterback. Oh, you sucked. You were a failure.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's go back now. Let's say Patrick Mahomes is drafted by the Jets. And the Jets ain't going to wait a year. The Jets ain't going to go, hey, you kid, you know what? Watch it. This is not the long-term plan, but you watch Alex Smith for a year. And Andy Reid, who is a quarterback genius, is going to get his hands on you and mold you, right? So now he's a Jet. Patrick Mahomes the same guy?
Yeah, he had a lot of things to be ironed out, right? He had to sit, work out his mechanics.
You know?
All that stuff. They had to overhaul Aaron Rodgers' throwing
motion. That's what I was going to say. Aaron Rodgers, let's say he gets taken top three. So it's Alex Smith, and then I forget who is 2 and 3. But let's say he goes then. He ain't going to sit, which he obviously would have liked at the time. He's going to play. He the same guy? You know, we're so quick to just blame the player. And players across the board there have been plenty of guilty parties. There have been plenty of guys that don't care enough or don't work hard enough. So this is not absolution.
Jamarcus Russell probably weighs 372 pounds and doesn't care, right?
Exactly. Jamarcus Russell didn't care. But there's a lot of cases where Kevin O'Connell, Phil, that put it perfectly, he's the X factor. And if he fails here, it will cost him his job. But until he fails, I'm going to assume he knows what he's doing, which is why I'm putting a ton of stock in, because I'm the same guy, and I think that you join me, who sat here on this show for years and bitched about Spielman and Zimmer didn't care about his quarterback enough. So I'm going to give this administration and O'Connell especially the benefit of the doubt to say, you know what? Whoever they get their hands on, they're going to give this kid a hell of a lot more chance than a lot of guys have had who went in the draft.
I trust Kevin O'Connell. I believe he elevated Kirk Cousins in some ways that, like, Kirk reached a new level of quiet-mindedness, fourth quarter comebacks, team success with 13 wins.
Yes.
And I think sometimes people twist what happened with the backup quarterbacks last year in a way that reflects poorly on Kevin O'Connell. And I want to stop that for a second and say, he literally took a dude that hadn't met his teammates yet. And throughout the course of 2.5 or 3 hours against the Falcons, navigated that quarterback, Josh Dobbs, to a victory. And then another win against the Saints. Was it the next week? Didn't they win 2 in a row? I think it was against Falcons and Saints.
Yeah, same here.
Nick Mullins has been an interception machine his entire career in the NFL, one of the highest interception rates. It's just, you're not going to turn him into Aaron Rodgers circa 2013, right? He literally got like a 400-yard game out of Nick Mullins, a guy slinging the ball down the field. There's some quarterbacks that are just, it doesn't matter if you're a quarterback whisperer. They're backups, and that's Josh Dobbs and Nick Mullins. So just to put a bow on this from my perspective, and we'll get Declan's last word here too. I have leaned a little too far into, like, I've been caught up in kind of the ponder PTSD of it the last 48 hours as we start to sit here, and because we want to cover all the different scenarios on this podcast and we want to go down the different avenues that they're probably going down behind the scenes. But at the end of the day, I believe the Vikings are due to find their Patrick Mahomes, their Josh Allen, their Lamar Jackson, they're Jordan Love, who looks like he's panned out as the third straight franchise quarterback for the Packers. And I believe Kevin O'Connell will elevate any quarterback that they choose, whether it's Jaden Daniels or Bo Nix or anyone in between. So I'm back. I'm not focused on the ponder PTSD aspect of this, but we do want to go through different scenarios throughout the next month of what may or may not happen, because it's certainly not just a blind one-way trip up to number three. There's going to be a lot of different scenarios here. So enough of the fear-mongering, looking in the mirror here.
I mean, yeah, I definitely trust Kevin O'Connell. And honestly, the Vikings obviously have no other choice. It's not like you just fire Kevin O'Connell and start over on March 26th. This is your head coach for the next season. Unless things go disastrously wrong, he will be your head coach beyond 2024. I'm getting to the point, and we're still a month away, and I felt this towards the last days of Kirk and before tampering started. I want a resolution. So I'm excited to talk about all the possibilities. I think we should entertain all the possibilities. But as a football fan, I want a resolution. And we're still a month away from that. So let's have all that stuff, and I'm totally cool with doing it. But I would also just love, all right, who are they taking? And then let's start planning from there. Let's start mapping out how this team looks in 2024.
Oh, embrace the unknown, baby.
You might not get a month like this again. If all goes well, you won't get a month like this for 12 more years.
And that's
if it goes well.
Touché. That's fine. But I think there's also still a good amount of football fans who, yes, love the draft, love speculation. I'm not crapping on speculation. I'm just saying, as a football fan, and as you guys know, a very impatient individual, I want a resolution to this. I want to know what the heck they're going to do.
But here's the most important thing. The Vikings right now probably don't have that themselves. Like that's the thing. They're not, I don't think that they are hiding from you. Well, we've got this. We got a trade all set up. We're going to take Drake May. Screw you all. You'll find out. I think the Vikings are honestly in the midst of, they've got leans, they've got tells, but I don't think they're done yet. Like there's a lot of things to navigate and find out. Things can change in a month. So I think this is such a fascinating, like, this is something that you don't get much. And I think it's so interesting. I mean, this would be ultimately a great documentary if it could be documented, of like how you go about trying to get that franchise quarterback.
Yeah, it is. That would be, can you imagine if it was, so the Netflix quarterback documentary, if it was about finding and like going through your process. Yeah.
Like a hard knocks process of how does a quarterback guy find that, you know, after 6 years of Kirk, how do you find that guy who you want to replace him for 10 years?
It is still
back. I want my picks back.
Give me the picks.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
It is still the most sort of secretive and unquantifiable science in professional sports. It is the most important, most expensive position, most valuable position, influential position in sports. And teams don't have a great grasp on what to look for exactly. I mean, there's certain physical attributes. You have to be able to make certain throws, but there's different sizes. There's different levels of athleticism, mobility. There's certain things that you can outline in a conversation on a whiteboard watching film, but when you only have 2 seconds to make a decision and an accurate throw when the bullets are flying, you can't really simulate that in the pre-draft process. Like, it is.
Don't you think O'Connell's failure himself as a quarterback makes him more apt to get it right?
Yes.
Like, he's been through
and
the
his
process.
Success as a coach being around the Staffords and the Cousins.
But I mean, he's a coach now with that mindset, who was a third round pick, which, you know, is not a, like, that's not a seventh round pick. He's a third round pick who couldn't do it here in this league. And I think that in a good way, I think that makes him more dangerous to get the pick right, because he knows everything he's looking for and what he doesn't want.
He's also, we could do a whole episode on this, and we should sometime in the coming weeks. He is uniquely positioned, from what you're saying, from his experience as a third round pick, which is not a throwaway pick, by the way. He was drafted as kind of, he was sort of supposed to be what Jimmy Garoppolo became.
Day two pick,
right?
No question.
He was going to maybe even be the heir apparent to Tom Brady. Brady was still pretty young in 2008. It was like 5 years before Garoppolo got drafted. But he's been around Tom Brady in Tom Brady's prime. So he has seen that process behind the scenes. Now, Brady got hurt, but he was still around Tom Brady. Mm-hmm. He's been around Matthew Stafford, Super Bowl winning Matthew Stafford, Kirk Cousins, consummate professional. But he's also been around as a coach and as a teammate.
Yeah, I love this.
Mark Sanchez, who was not terrible and stuck around as a backup. Dwayne Haskins, Johnny Manziel. He's literally seen like the greatest of all time and some of the biggest flameouts as a coach or as a teammate.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And he's in that clique with Kyle Shanahan, Sean McVay. Like, I love the positioning here of where the person that should pick this. It's a long way from me saying, I don't trust Spielman at all. Mm-hmm. It's a long way from that.
Yep. So, okay, let's continue with quarterback watch 2024. And we will get to a hard count that goes over all the different changes coming up in the NFL that are being decided right now at the league meetings. But this one's from Kevin Seifert, Judd's old colleague at the Star Tribune, currently at ESPN.com. So Kevin O'Connell is keeping Justin Jefferson in the loop on these quarterback discussions. O'Connell said he does not believe Jefferson needs to know the outcome of the team's plans before signing a contract extension. But here's the quote from O'Connell. Needing to know and being a part of a collaborative process, which Justin is, are two different things. So we're not going to tell you exactly what we're doing, but we'd like your input. He continues and says, I have felt very strongly about keeping him informed. He's been in the loop. He's been aware. He's allowed to articulate things to me via our relationship. And that's really been through this whole process. Mm-hmm. So they're giving him a say, or at least an open pipeline. Doesn't mean that they're going to let him select the next quarterback, but he's part of a collaborative process, if you will.
So this is what I like when somebody like O'Connell just at least tells you a fraction of things, because I feel like there's a bunch of coaches that would just give you cliches about this. And they'd be like, well, we'll tell him when we make a decision, to make it very clear that they're boss, right? This to me, which I believe to be absolutely true, this to me is great, not only from the Jefferson standpoint, but from a PR standpoint, because like, you don't read that quote and think, oh, he's gone. You read that quote and think, good. Like he deserves some type of say in who might throw him the ball. But I just like O'Connell's approach this time of year with quotes like that is so refreshing, because I mean, how much does that tamp down the temperature of fear? Right.
Or maybe it's a sabotage. Maybe Justin Jefferson's like, Kevin, Spencer Rattler, dude, trust me, Spencer Rattler.
And then he wants to be traded to it.
And then he demands a trade.
Oh, And KLC's like, well, I thought I was doing the right thing. But anyway,
we got your guy.
Anyway, I think one, it's smart, but two, there's been nothing I've seen that you come away saying now that a contract won't get done. I think it gets done.
I agree. I think it gets done too.
And they got to keep him in the loop here and happy, right? Because just with all the speculation that's going on, and I mean, he was catching passes from everyone last year. There was, I think, kind of what might be the turning point if Justin Jefferson doesn't end up getting traded, like the moment we all kind of will look back on, is that week one loss to Tampa Bay when he was just sitting there on the bench, absolutely dejected for starting a season with a fart noise against a Tampa Bay team that actually ended up being better than we thought. But still, mm-hmm. You should have won that game. Start the season at home against Tampa Bay, and he's just sitting there absolutely dejected. And it's week one. It's not a playoff loss. It's not a season-defining loss. But that is, in my opinion, kind of an iconic shot at JJ's maybe tenure of the Vikings going in the opposite direction.
Well, yeah, he had the first three games, he had 150, 159, and 149 yards. And then, like, a couple games later, the hamstring pops up. But what I would be telling him is, okay, I know there's uncertainty, and it's totally fair if you want the next month to play out. If I'm Justin Jefferson, I'm probably waiting a month at this point. I'm not signing anything. Let's see what happens. Let's see, do the Vikings move up and draft someone? But if I'm Kevin O'Connell, I'm telling him, dude, no offense to our guy, Nick Mullins. Okay, just between you and me, Justin, we both love Nicky. Nick's a great guy in the room. You literally went for 141 yards and 192 yards in games with Nick Mullins as the starting quarterback. And he is a mid-level backup at best. Imagine what you could do with a dynamic, talented young guy that's closer to your age.
Right.
A Jaden Daniels or a Drake May with a huge arm, 6'4", 230. Dude, right. You're putting up a $150, a $190 with backups? Like, don't worry about it.
And while players can't be allowed to dictate moves completely, I think this also is why the Vikings are eager, anxious about the fact that they're trying so hard to trade up. I think if you go to JJ day after the draft and say, hey, come on, man, Bo Nix is going to be great, he might be like, yeah, I've seen some film, it's okay. But if you go to him with one of those top four names, he's going to be downright excited about it. So like, and I am not trying to say that you should ever allow players to dictate that completely, but Jefferson's a little bit of a different case. And it's very clear that this franchise is doing everything possible both probably financially and on the field, to make him as satisfied as possible. And if he finds out that he has a top quarterback coming here, who, by the way, will not siphon from his contract at all, mm-hmm. I think that's going to be a very palatable recipe for Justin Jefferson.
On the Bo Nix thing for one quick second, and we don't have to reopen like yesterday's argument. Bo Nix was one of the best quarterbacks in college football when pressured and blitzed last year. He's one of the most accurate quarterbacks, but like average depth of target, he was being asked to throw a lot shorter passes,
right,
as Thor and Tyler have outlined.
Sure.
If Kevin O'Connell, if you found out somehow, Judd, with your like sleuthing sources that are still lurking around at the Vikings practice facility,
you just never know where they are.
Dude, it's like, it's not out there yet, but yeah. KOC has Bo Nix as the third quarterback on their board. They've got Caleb, they've got Jaden Daniels, but Kevin O'Connell loves Bo Nix. Would you and other people change your opinion of Bo Nix, or would you think that Kevin O'Connell is out of his mind? Okay.
Yes.
I changed my
opinion. Yes, to what?
Yes,
you're saying you changed your opinion on O'Connell, Judd?
Yes. Immediately.
After you just said that you have to, that you trust him and he's the identifier to finding the next quarterback,
I would change my opinion. I would change my opinion
Dude,
completely.
Dex, this is what I was saying yesterday. Like, people are viewing this in the way that the mock draft boards are being put out. And that's never the way that the quarterbacks pan out in NFL history.
To be clear, just quickly, I do not think Penix and Bo Nix are in the same tier. I don't think there's any way O'Connell thinks
it he doesn't would, matter what you think.
He would.
I'm telling you, Kevin O'Connell. I'm making this up.
Yeah.
KOC.
No, right. So right.
Are you trusting WalterFootball.com or Kevin O'Connell? That's the question. And what we don't know is what Kevin O'Connell's 1-6 looks like.
Yes.
And we won't. We probably
I would be
never.
Amazed. Oh, okay, I'll put it this way. I would be shocked if Bo Nix was number three on Kevin O'Connell's imaginary board. Because the volume of film from Bo Nix's first stop is such
that he
was put into an offense. See, this is the thing that I know. Don't get fooled by college film, because if you're put into a quarterback-friendly, and it's friendly, offensive system, if Bo Nix's entire resume was built on with one school and it was last year, then our opinions are different.
Yeah. All I'm saying, I don't mean to like relitigate this, because I'm not stumping for Bo Nix. All I'm saying is, and Declan's already made this point, there's a randomness to the draft, and it's very rare that like it plays out the way you think it's supposed to play out based on mock drafts and whatever. And there's a good chance that someone like Kevin O'Connell, who's operating on a really high level, having looked at quarterbacks,
might have
a very different board than like the mock consensus.
I'm more willing to buy Penix as the wild card.
Okay.
Because of that arm.
Yeah, that's fair.
I'm willing to buy that one way more. I just think a guy like Bo Nix.
Dex is about to freak out.
Well, when you've seen two sets of film and the first one's not good, there's a reason why it's not good.
Yeah. No, I get it. I get it. Hey, before we get into some more quarterback watch 2024 and some new NFL rules, if you're a business owner out there, and maybe you're trying to figure out what the future looks like for your business, you're trying to protect your assets, protect your employees, do you have a game plan in place to stay focused on safety and preventing claims? Let the team at Federated help support your business. Federated Insurance offers a customizable lineup of industry-specific coverages and risk management services to help you continue your winning streak. At Federated Mutual Insurance Company, it's our business to protect yours. You can find out more at federatedinsurance.com. Also, we have a pretty big announcement here. Okay. So we sold out the Fillmore, as you guys know, for the 2024 Purple Daily Draft Party a few weeks back, which is amazing. Thank you guys for showing up, for snagging tickets, the VIP tickets as well. So on Wednesday, April 3rd at 10 a.m., we're going to make 10 pair of VIP tickets available for purchase at scornorth.com/party. So it's a very small amount. Obviously, we're working with the venue to try and create a few more tickets and opportunities without it being uncomfortably packed. So we have 20 tickets. They'll be sold in 10 pair, $100 a piece. These are VIP tickets. You get a Score North beanie, a meet and greet with us before the show goes on, food, drink vouchers. At 10 a.m. on April 3rd, these 10 pair of VIP tickets go on sale at scorenorth.com slash party. So be ready. Clicky, clicky, clicky.
Mm-hmm.
And it sucks that like we feel like we're disappointing people, that because there's going to be people that get turned away, obviously. And we love the Fillmore. It's a much bigger venue than our previous couple of years. I don't know. Maybe we need an even bigger venue for 2025. But the response from you guys, the audience, Vikings fans, Purple Daily listeners, has been mind-blowing for us. And it's going to be a wild night. We're already putting together content plans, and
it's going to be the best Vikings draft night in how long?
Yes. So, and a shout out to our friends at Popped Corn of Minnetonka. They are the official flag sponsor. So everyone's going to get, everyone in attendance gets a Purple Daily flag courtesy of Popped Corn. And so when we hit that ode to joy and Judd starts waving the flag, all of you can wave everyone. The flag with Judd. And VIPs are going to receive a Popped Corn sample bag as well. So super pumped.
Beautiful.
Okay, back to the quarterback watch, 2024 fodder here. Tom Pelissero, an old friend and colleague of ours, NFL Network now, he reported yesterday, he said his conversations with executives from other teams, he's talked to many different people around the NFL landscape, high-level sure. people, executives.
Yeah, GMs, no question.
GMs, vice presidents. He said it led to a common prediction on what the Commanders will do with the number two overall pick, but one very different from many mock drafts and odds. Quotes from Tom, the most popular answer for what the Commanders will do at number two is J.J. McCarthy.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that's a smokescreen? Is it the Commanders being like, let's see how much the Vikings like McCarthy. Let's see how much the Giants like McCarthy. Can we get a godfather package from one of these teams to move down?
So are the Commanders leaking this out then to other executives? Or are like, I'm just curious, like where I trust Tom's reporting, and Tom does not recklessly speculate, I will say that, but
mm-hmm.
Is he talking to other teams that have talked to the Commanders about a potential trade, and are they throwing out smoke screens? Because the executives that Tom is talking to, and the reason why he's going to teams that aren't the Commanders to ask this question, is because they're going to tell him the truth, but it's the truth of what they've been told. And then the other question, and Duke's pointed this out on the Scoops today as well on that episode, is are the Commanders doing this with an eye to take McCarthy at two, or with an eye to trade down a little bit and take McCarthy but trade two and get the collateral back for that package? Like, this goes in a lot of different ways. It's absolutely fantastic.
It's like the It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia meme where
Charlie's you don't know where it's going. So like there's a lot of variables based off of this, including one of the Commanders are flat out right now just lying to other teams to try and get things out there to let them explore.
We love Spencer Rattler.
Yeah, because they just know.
No one's talking about it.
They, you know, there is so many things. Like, we have, I believe yesterday is 1 month until the draft. This is the perfect time for sabotage, for putting stuff out there.
Subterfuge,
sabotage, whatever you want to call it. They've got enough time now to put it out there. So I don't know. All I know is that I love what is going on here. And JJ McCarthy, I mean, that's a wild card, man, because there are some people who would flat out say no, they're going to take him at two.
But this
and
has Jayden happened
Daniels is the smokescreen.
2 years in a row this has happened, though, where there's like a guy, actually it happened with Zach Wilson too, where there's a guy that was maybe
Levis.
Later Will Levis, Malik Willis, and actually Zach Wilson wound up actually being taken number two,
right?
So that might be a bad example. Is it a Zach Wilson situation where a guy in the offseason process goes from like mid to late first round
right.
all the way up and he gets drafted number two? No. Or is it a Malik Willis, Will Levis situation where there's just a sacrificial lamb smokescreen name that, oh, we love, oh, we're going to take him. We're going to take him. Watch out.
But then Harbaugh, you know, at the AFC coaches breakfast on Monday is talking about, I coach this kid and I think he's the best pure quarterback in this draft. And he doesn't really have incentive to lie about that. Like
well, he does now, though, because he wants teams to give a Godfather package to move up to five.
Yeah, but the problem is he's talked him up so high. I'm not sure McCarthy's going to get to five.
He knew he was taking that Chargers job like 4 months ago, though, probably. So
he's talking. Yeah. But I mean, the way he's talking, the Chargers, like if I'm the Chargers and he's trying to play the game, I'm like, dude, slow down a little bit. You're going to get this guy taking a three.
Well, but it's either way for the Chargers. It's great because if you can somehow pump JJ McCarthy's tires enough to get him ironclad up into the top five, then it means that there's going to be four viable quarterbacks. And if you're the Chargers, you're open for business at five. It's a brilliant play.
I will say this, for as crazy as the Mike Tannenbaum mock, oh my God, it was great that we did an entire episode on as well of PD, at the rate that Harbaugh was talking, Tannenbaum's prediction is going to come true, not necessarily with the teams, but those QBs are going to go one, two, three, four.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause the Cardinals are going to be like, I can't turn down this package.
The Cardinals are in a great spot right now. A great spot.
Austin Ford is in the driver's seat.
Mm-hmm.
Remember the 2014 draft, which was the Teddy Bridgewater draft, which that started with Teddy's going to go number one when the college football season ended. He has a horrible pro day. He has the gloves off. He puts the gloves back on. Then he goes 32.
Yep.
And then all of a sudden, it's Blake Bortles who's the first quarterback off the board to the Jaguars. Now, it's a different draft class. I understand that. But like, no one, I think, even saw Blake Bortles going three overall when we were going into that draft. And that draft had 14 GD quarterbacks taken in it. There was a ton of quarterbacks taken in it. So,
who were the other first-round quarterbacks that year?
So Blake, Bortles, Johnny Manziel, and Teddy. Right. And then Garoppolo and Carr went early in the second round. So
that's another one where you had Garoppolo and Carr were the two best quarterbacks, and neither one of them. Well, I guess Garoppolo was good enough to help bring teams to the Super Bowl, whatever. Yeah. But that's where like the randomness comes in. Where consensus, right? Blake Bortles. But this is where it's like, if you could somehow manipulate and go back the last 10 drafts and say, okay, Kevin O'Connell, you don't know what happened. You're seeing this tape for the first time, right? How would you rank these quarterbacks? And I wonder, and I think the Vikings would have an edge having Kevin O'Connell say, okay, the world thinks that it's in this order, but based on what I know, watching some of the best to ever do it and some of the biggest busts to ever come out of the NFL, that it should be ordered this way around.
And Manziel, I mean, it wouldn't have taken much work to see he was a freaking disaster. That's the thing too, is, and supposedly Spielman tried to trade for him. And Jerry Jones, I know, loved him. And then, in a very then Browns way, they got him. But like Manziel might've had all the talent in the world. I don't know. But I mean, how do you whiff on a guy who's got that many problems? I mean, put a private investigator on for a week and you won't take him.
Yeah. And like now that documentary came out, some of the things that they covered up, like how did some of that stuff not leak?
And insane. NFL teams, their security departments at times have like former FBI agents.
Yeah.
So like, we're not talking about some bamboozled, executive who's like, he looks great to me. Like, you literally can put a tail on kids.
Yeah. They all have, every team too has, they essentially have a car service that it's just 24/7. It's always on. It's not like Uber X where you get someone's 1999 Corolla rolling up, with.
And that's like, not just for players. That's for people. If you're working for the organization.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You just call a number and,
they come get you.
Gary comes and gets you in his
Dewey's
Lincoln
aren't
Continental.
Good for business.
No,
they are not.
So, all right. Well, there's more throughout the week, quarterback watch 2024, but it's juicy times right now. Okay. Time for the hard count, boys.
Everybody hold your water.
What's that?
Balls, balls, balls.
Yeah.
Balls, green 18.
The hard count, where we go around the football and NFL world, and today's theme is going to be changes around the league. Well, one of them's not a change. We'll get to some rule changes. One of them is the Christmas Day games have been such a successful thing. We've kind of wondered, it's convenient when Christmas Day is on like a Saturday or a Sunday. Of course you're going to play football. Well, what happens when Christmas is on like a Wednesday? which is, and I'll throw it to Declan here. So Christmas is on a Wednesday this year, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And the NFL is going to play football on a Wednesday on Christmas.
It's a little conflicting if they're doing games or game. I originally the report from Sheffield was just they're going to do a Christmas game, but now The Athletic is saying games on Christmas Day. Because, you know, the last few years it's been a morning, afternoon, evening game. There's a, you know, triple header of games. But now it's on a Wednesday. So what is the team going to play on a Saturday? And then obviously they won't play on Sunday. Is it the Thursday night football game before that team gets into Wednesday? I think this makes things very complicated. I know, like, I'm not shocked that they ended up using Christmas on a Wednesday to monopolize their league, because why not? Why, it's the NFL. Of course, they're going to do that. But I am curious on the slate of games, and also how does the time off work between the previous game for the team that has to play on
Christmas Day? No way they would make a team go Sunday to Wednesday.
No.
Is there?
No.
Well,
tonight, but still in uniform from their last game, it's the Buffalo Bills.
I love this, though. God, this is great. Like, because you know what? This had been, for how long, the NBA's domain, right? Christmas Day. It started off when I was a kid. It would be like the Celtics and Sixers, followed by the Lakers and a primetime team. And then it's now, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, it's five basketball games. And then the National Football League came along and said, yeah, you know what? Let's try a game.
That looks like fun.
Yeah. That looks like fun. And I'm going to tell you right now, as a sports fan, I love it. Everyone's home. Like, if you want to shut the TV off and it's family time, that's your problem, not mine. I love this. I love this. Now, is there a chance that we're going to have to do a show on Christmas Day because the Vikings play? There's a chance.
Even better, yeah.
But I'm willing to risk that for the fact that there could be a triple header of football on. And let's be honest, the NBA games, because there's so many of them. In fact, I bet the Wolves host one.
But they will next year, finally.
But the NBA games, you know, it's the Knicks and Wizards. Yeah, okay, that's fine. I love it.
The NBA puts the best. They're not putting the Wizards on. But the Wolves will finally, with Anthony Edwards, get one next year.
But the Knicks rarely, like, there a couple of years ago, the Knicks were so bad that they didn't put them on. But the Knicks are ordinarily on, and it's a traditional game. It's great. The more the merrier, though.
How about this, too, from Phil Yates, who points out this fact. So, Christmas game on a Wednesday.
Yep.
Then a Thursday night football game on the 26th.
Oh.
No football as of now for that Friday, the 27th. But then you'll have Friday football on the 28th, Friday football on the 29th.
Wait, Saturday football on the... No 28th. Friday, you said, right? Okay.
No Friday, but football Wednesday, Thursday, Saturday, Sunday. And then you'll have the Monday night football game on the 30th. You'll have the college football quarterfinals on the 31st. And January 1st.
Oh.
So it's literally 7 days of epic big football with playoffs on the line, college football playoff going on.
Just strap in.
Doing nothing absolutely but getting crazy. The apps out and betting constantly.
Strap in. Rule changes here. Rule changes. 318! Let's start with this one. NFL owners have officially approved the new NFL hybrid kickoff rule. For 1 year as a trial, and they have to reapprove it next year, one way or the other. So after years of tweaks turned one of the game's most exciting plays, the kickoff, into a dead ceremonial play, the league hopes to overhaul it and get what it wants, which is fewer injuries and more returns. So this, they're stealing this from the XFL. The kick must land. So let me back up a step. You're going to have the kick coverage team, the kickoff team, lined up at the opposing team's 35-yard line or 40-yard line.
40-yard line.
40-yard line.
40-yard line.
So on the other side, or Matt, so the kicker's going to kick off still from where he has been.
The 35.
And then, you know, 20, whatever, 40 yards down the field, 30 yards down the field, his coverage unit will line up at the other team's 40.
Yep.
And then the kickoff return team, I guess you'd call it, is going to be able to line up between their own 30 and 35, kind of staggered however they want to.
Nine guys.
And the kicker has to then kick the ball in that 20-yard zone from the goal line to the 20. So here's how it happens. No one can move until the returner touches the ball. And then it becomes essentially like you're all at like the line of scrimmage, like a regular play.
Right.
The kick must land between the 20-yard line and the goal line. A kick that either goes out of bounds or lands short of the 20. So if you like kick one into the back of your coverage team or you kick it out of bounds, the receiving team gets the ball at the 40-yard line. So that's a similar penalty to what they have right now if you kick out of bounds. A kick that goes into the end zone for a touchback will go out to the receiving team's 30-yard line. Mm-hmm. So instead of we've moved it now from the 20 to the 25 to the 30-yard line for a touchback. I love this, by the way, because it brings back the excitement of returns. It makes it, I think, more enticing to not kick a touchback because you don't want to give the team the ball at the 30 if you can maybe make a stop at the 15, right? And you're going to be able to run like different exotic like twists and stunts off of the line of scrimmage as a defensive play. Like you're going to have coordinators are going to be able to get really creative with how they cover these things. So I love this for 1 year.
So this is essentially, in fact, there it is.
Just pull it up here on YouTube.
So the kickoff start line, to Phil's point, is back in your own territory, but then your guys are on the other side, and it's two guys who can line up from the receiving team in the landing zone. So two guys potentially will have the chance to return it. No fair catches allowed is fantastic. Like this whole thing, I think, is a spot on. And the XFL, so they've tweaked what the XFL did. But the XFL guy who did this said, like, they did 2 years of research to, like, figure out the best way possible.
Yeah.
My favorite part is this entire thing is also going to bring back, in Judd's training camp notes, it's going to bring back the kickoff return competition. It didn't matter.
Yeah. It's great.
It didn't matter. Like, you can actually now employ guys. Like, Kane Wongwu, to me, has gone from a sure cut. Like, he was screwed. He's for sure screwed, to if he's the best that you possibly got, he could return multiple kickoffs for touchdowns.
But the other thing is, like, do you want a straight line speed guy, or because of the way it's situated now, do you need more of a shifty running back who can cut?
But you're not right. But like you're not going to use a guy that you use a lot on offense because you don't want to necessarily up his touches. So like, are you going to find a guy?
Right.
No, this is what's going to bring back. I'm telling you, Judd's notes from training camp. Now I got a whole new realm. I got a whole new area. I can write down notes during training camp practices for this.
It's going to look crazy different. And I know that a lot of fans are going to be just kind of, what the hell is this? This is stupid. Wow, but credit to the NFL for just trying stuff. Sometimes they go a little overboard. Like, we're going to do reviews of pass interference. Then they bring it back after a year and say, no, that was dumb. But I love it. The NFL is willing to try stuff to inject more excitement in. And so we'll see how this shakes out. The other thing, too, that was a major headline yesterday, this is probably our last item for the hard count, is the NFL is now going to punish hip drop tackle offenders. So the play that Mark Andrews suffered the injury on and other players, it's kind of cloudy as to whether they're going to issue 15-yard penalties. They're definitely going to look at the film and fine guys after the fact.
Yep.
But it's just defensive players are not happy about this.
So. I absolutely hate this. So last week when they talked about this, they talked about it being fines, which I'm actually like, I don't care that, like, yes, the players get ripped off, but I don't really care. Like, if that's fine. If you want to fine guys and say you can't do this type of tackle, and the league compares it to the helmet rule, which causes a lot more fines than penalties.
Yeah.
But here's my fear, because it's so subjective. I think this is going to be the quarterback sack. You can't put X amount of weight on a quarterback rule. And you're going to have trigger-happy officials, because you always do, who are going to try and penalize this. But when you watch this at real speed, good luck like identifying it. Like, a horse collar tackle is obvious, right? There's no like, well, you grab the guy by the pants, but I saw a horse collar.
Yeah.
This is a hip drop tackle where you spin a guy fast and like land on him. It's not, you're going to have, I think the first month, you're going to have these guys who love to throw flags, penalizing this just like you did the quarterback weight rule. And it's going to be a complete pain. It's going to change some games. And I would have been fine with this if they said, hey, we're going to fine guys. We're going to start with sort of a soft launch here Do not give officials more power, though.
Yeah, it'll be so interesting. You know, it's also like if you're a 195, 200-pound cornerback trying to make a tackle on a tight end or something.
Yeah.
It's you're taken away. I get it. It's for safety, and you don't want especially pass catchers and tight ends to be blowing their knees out. But
explain this. I think I'm right. Okay, so this is now illegal, so you can throw a flag. But yet the Lions safety that hit Hawkinson and then hurt a Rams guy in the playoffs, that's not a flag.
I guess, yeah.
And you're chopping that guy's knees, and you're chopping their knees out. And players will tell you, we would rather have concussions, anything but knees. This is what I don't understand.
I think my biggest problem with all of this is, okay, football is going to be violent. And you have 250 and 300-pound guys running full speed at each other and colliding. You can't legislate all of the risk out of it. So we'll see how this... Do you guys remember that play from a few years ago on, I think it was Sunday Night Football, where the Arizona Cardinals picked off a pass from Russell Wilson, and they were about to bring it back for like a 100-yard pick six, and DK Metcalf, speed, came running all the way down the sideline. Someone posted that video yesterday, and he makes this tackle at like the 5-yard line and saves a touchdown. That tackle would have been a hip drop tackle. Yeah. He literally ran 100 yards full speed, just trudging his way down. And the only way you can take a guy down full speed from behind is to like grab him and kind of turn your momentum, right? Or you're going to ride him into the end zone. I
hate it.
I quit football in 8th grade, so I don't know anything about tackling.
I just don't think I think the defenders who got on X are exactly right. Like, what are they supposed to do?
Yeah, that's tough.
I'd rather they don't take knees out, but when you're talking about grabbing a person by their midsection and spinning them, that's tackling to me.
Yeah. So, all right, there's your hard count.
Hold your water.
Gentlemen. Hold your water. And that's a wrap on episode 2 of Purple Daily today. If you missed the first one, which is just glorious, reckless speculation from former NFL GM Mike Tannenbaum, go check that out. Please give us a 5-star rating and a positive review on Apple and Spotify. It helps us grow the audience. And if you haven't already, click that like button and the subscribe button on the Purple Daily YouTube channel. And we'll see you guys tomorrow for a Write That Down Wednesday.